And thinking back, the musicians that we had in conservatories 30 years ago didn't even think about joining symphony orchestras because there weren't any practically. And so that was a huge revolution, probably one of the biggest here. And there was the Young Orchestra of Catalonia and so many other young orchestras that developed and changed people's attitudes and said, you can be a professional musician and not just be a soloist. Becoming an orchestra musician was an exciting possibility that opened up for these young musicians. But that has changed too. And the reality, as Sarah was just saying, and from everything we've heard these days, has changed. And now what young musicians dream of is not just being able to have a professional life in a symphony orchestra. Way back when, there were two conservatories in Catalonia, none of which had a stable orchestra. And at most, they had a string orchestra. And so things have changed so much in that sense. And that's what I was trying to get at. The role of youth orchestras is, or young musician orchestras is different, but we can contribute to everything that we've heard here. Because initially, the plan for these kinds of orchestras in their community was to have people come and play Mozart, Beethoven, learn the repertoire firsthand, and then we'll see. Whatever great problems develop later, we'll have to wait and see when they arrive. Luckily, things have changed very positively since what Sarah was just saying about the sector and the reality of all the orchestras, everything we've heard about, social programs, educational programs, it's amazing. For instance, our orchestra, what we used to do in the past, well, we have three orchestras. The musicians between 14 and 17 playing Mozart, Haydn, Schubert, Mendelssohn, and we're investing mostly in making sure they can reach that repertoire. And what was initially the young orchestra, 18 to 22, 23, we are trying to focus them on larger scope projects in partnership whenever we can with other institutions. In fact, with the Honda just 5 years ago, we had a meeting together and we performed together the two orchestras, and it was an extraordinary experience. So that's a type of repertoire which even today is hard to cover in even the most developed conservatories specializing in contemporary music and baroque and whatever. In the higher centers, in the higher conservatories, it is beginning to be possible, but these youth orchestras do have some flexibility to cover that kind of repertoire. So we focus their main activities on these sorts of projects, great symphony orchestra projects, but also performing Baroque music with the original instruments whenever possible, and to have experiences with live composition workshops with young composers and so on. And we've also come up with a third orchestra, which is interesting for this context, which is a professional inclusion project, what we call Jung Philharmonia. And that's ex-members of our youth orchestra who are now scattered throughout many of the symphony orchestras in this country. And twice or three times a year, not so much now because it's a bit harder, we get them involved in special projects. It's not a permanent orchestra that meets to perform a concert, but they only work in projects in partnership with other institutions if they have some added benefit. For instance, a live performance to be broadcast on television, but on a cultural or classical music theme, for example, a competition of young composers or young performers. And so going back to what I was saying at the beginning, whether we have such musicians with these additional skills. Lynn Ballesteros, who spoke this morning, is a good example of that, that these people do actually exist, musicians who realized a while ago that it's not enough to just play their instrument well, that they want to be, well, I wouldn't say social workers, but they do want to be making more of a contribution. They want to be able to work with children who have moderate disabilities or what have you, and take them somewhere they've never been before, helping them rise above their problems or their day-to-day challenges, and who will also have the entrepreneurial leadership skills that Sarah was just talking about. Redefine the profession in a way. That's these people are out there, and they are in many Spanish orchestras. And the great question is, does the current structure of orchestras in Spain enable such activities and such profiles? I think it's wonderful that you've organized this conference, because of course that's exactly the topic that you've been discussing, and we all know that it is not easy. This morning, and I'm not trying to be critical of you, Michele, but you used a nice expression, and you said that orchestras have been rather slow. But are they willing? Because I think they are willing to change, and what makes it slow, of course, is the weight of those decades of tradition and experience, I suppose, makes them very difficult to change. But I do believe, after listening to all of you and from what I see around me, that the will is there. They are searching for this other values, and it will, I think, happen eventually. Anyway, the point you were making, how you can make sure this change happens, or how we can drive this change from our youth orchestra. Well, for a long time, in our orchestra, like in many other youth orchestras, we established partnerships with professional orchestras around us. That's something that naturally evolves over time, just like Maria Jose was speaking about the agreement that has just been signed between the OCEA and Musikele. Neighboring institutions do end up collaborating, and without having really a specific partnership, I'm referring to the Young and, say, the Symphony Orchestra of Barcelona, for example, didn't have a sort of official pathway, but we did have musicians of ours who auditioned and became assistants or support staff, and then eventually became employees of the Symphony Orchestra. Although this wasn't a defined pathway, it did happen sort of naturally. And what we have paid attention to is how this pathway ends, that is, the whole organizational and economic difficulty and everything involved in this. How does it end? What kind of a model do we want to implement? And so we had lots of partnership agreements with the auditorium, with the orchestra. But for the last few years, we've also been trying to define a model for ourselves that would include these concerns, and which therefore would help to answer these questions. And so what we've been doing for the last couple of years, we've signed an agreement with the Mahler Chamber Orchestra, and which, you know, is different. It was founded by the musicians themselves, and it's organized quite differently. But that gives them a flexibility and a vision, which is quite different. As she was just saying, why the most talented musicians tell us that they don't really want to play in an orchestra. They would have, if they had taken part in the audition, they would have been selected, but they're interested in other things. They want chamber music. They want social projects.
There are plenty of nice examples around the world about this. The question is, should we or should we not reach that point? Vanguard, Piramidal, the Europe Chamber Orchestra, those are different kinds of models that were actually born as an answer to these concerns. And the question is, should we hope for this or not? Well, in our case, we decided we wanted to, and that's why we opened this window. It is our responsibility, it is our obligation for talented young musicians to have the opportunity to have a good professional life if they have the talent, the skills, and the imagination, as well as the entrepreneurial skills and the enthusiasm. to do it. It can be done not only here, it can be done anywhere, and lots have already done it. So I'm not trying to argue with you, Mikkel. I just became inspired by your words. I do believe that this kind of musician profile exists, and I believe that our orchestra musicians need to learn about this. And it must be one of the cornerstones, not the only one, but one of the cornerstones of this new and closer relationship with the audience and the communities, and to open a wider social awareness. And as someone this morning, as someone was saying this morning, it's a way to give something back to society in the form of energy, encouragement, to return what we receive from society in the form of subsidies for our schools and our seasons. So I hope that we get this message clearly. And the problem is, and I understand what you're saying, is that things don't happen overnight. But it's out there. It does exist. Jordi Jimeno was here from the Valladolid Orchestra, was here this morning, an excellent violinist. And, well, he spent a while in our orchestra, too. And he decided to do something different because he had a different view of things, and he wanted to help change things in a different way. And I would say this is the message. I don't know if we will have time for questions, but I would like to close with a short quote. The key lies in sharing, finding a partner who will share your interests, someone who will say, I have something you need, you have something I need, and for the better good, for the greater good, for those who will pay our subsidies and for those who will receive our teachings. And for that reason, I would like to congratulate EOS for taking this serious matter so seriously. Thank you, everybody.